Friends, grace and mercy and peace be to you from God, our Father, and from our blessed Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. A portion, again, of that gospel reading from Luke chapter 8. We'll start at the 30th verse. Jesus has encountered this demoniac, and when Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" he said, "Legion," for many demons had entered him. And they begged him not to command them to depart into the abyss. Now a large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside, and they begged him to let them enter these. So he gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. This is God's word. You may be seated. Hell from the Heavens is the title of a book by John Wuckowitz that describes the most intense and fierce kamikaze attack on any American ship in World War II. It was the epic battle of Okinawa, April 16, 1945, and the target of the attack was the USS Laffey, a battle-hardened destroyer assigned to protect other ships from submarines. The crew of the Laffey had seen a lot of action, but nothing could have prepared them for what was going to happen on that day, when all hell rained down from the heavens, as Japan attacked that ship with no less than 50 airplanes and 22 kamikaze attacks. Amazingly, however, despite being badly damaged by four bombs that hit, six successful kamikaze attacks, and strafing fire that killed 32 sailors and wounded 71, despite all of that, the Laffey was not destroyed. In fact, she was fixed up, and she was even recommissioned to serve in the Korean War. And it's that story that sets us up for another epic battle, the battle in which Jesus engages in Luke chapter 8. And the scene here is just moments after Jesus had calmed the wild waves, and now he is in uncharted territory in the land of the Gerasenes on the other side of the Sea of Galilee. This is pagan country, a dismal place where devils roam free. And when Jesus had stepped out onto the land, there met him a man from the city who had demons. And this guy is in rough shape, a streaker who's hanging out with the skeletons. For a long time, Luke records, he had worn no clothes, and he lived out among the tombs. The people tried to help him, couldn't. And so they tried to subdue him, but he would repeatedly break out of his bonds. He's a crazy man, wild, scary. And yet Jesus, with no fear, enters into the fray and comes face to face with this man's demons. Legion was his name, because it wasn't just one demon, but many demons that had possessed this poor man. Jesus is outnumbered. But clearly, he is not outmatched. And you can tell that Jesus is in control here by the way the demons talk to him, begging him not to cast them prematurely to their fate in the fiery abyss of hell. Apparently, demons don't care much for hell either. But like POWs, they are begging their captor for leniency. These demons beg Jesus to go easy on them, to send them, instead of sending them to the abyss, to send them into this herd of pigs that was nearby. And Jesus obliges, and the demons enter the pigs, and the pigs rush down this steep bank and into the lake, and they are drowned. And what those kamikaze pilots were unable to do to the USS Laffey, these demons did to these poor pigs who met their demise in the watery grave of the Sea of Galilee. Meanwhile, the demoniac, don't forget him. Remember what happened to him? He's free. And we read a little bit later, he was sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. Now, sitting at the feet in this culture is the posture and the place of a disciple, learning from the rabbi. This man intends to stick with Jesus as a disciple. In fact, we just read that he begged that he might stay with him. But Jesus said to him, no. No, you return home and you declare how much God has done for you. This man wants to be a student, but Jesus has called him to be a storyteller. So to go out and tell the world how Christ gave him a new life and destroyed the work of the destroyer. Well, it was an epic battle. A similar story to that of the USS Laffey, a story of warfare, like the warfare that we read about in Ephesians chapter 6 when St. Paul says that our struggle is not against flesh, but against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And here's how it breaks down. The devil is the destroyer, of whom Jesus said in John chapter 10, he comes to kill and to steal and to destroy. So make no mistake about this. Satan and his minions have one goal and one goal only, and that is to destroy everything that God cares about. Everything that God created. Most of all, everything that God loves. And what does he love? More than you. They are out to destroy you. Think about what these demons did to this poor man in the country of the Gerasenes. They destroyed his dignity, leaving him naked in the wilderness and living out among the dead. They destroyed his relationships, leaving him ostracized from the city where he came from, away from his community, living out there alone. They destroyed his mind, leaving him crazed and deranged and feral. And then when Jesus cast these demons into this herd of pigs, what did they do? They destroyed the pigs. There's just destruction everywhere. He comes to destroy, Jesus said. And not just to destroy Gerasenes or pigs, but to destroy your marriage, your family, your livelihood, to destroy the lives of unborn children, to destroy churches, to destroy your mental health, to destroy your faith, to destroy you. One assault after another, as verse 29 says, for many times it had seized him. Many a time, one attack after another, to the point of exhaustion and defeat. And life gets to feeling like you're a sailor aboard the USS Laffey as we endure this constant satanic strafing and bombings and kamikaze attacks as these spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms rain down hell upon this earth and upon our lives. Some people occasionally ask me if demons are still roaming the skies and the waters and the land, seeking to destroy people by demonic possession. And I think the answer clearly is yes. Yes, that is still happening. Demons are no less active now than they were then. But that said, remember, they don't have to possess you to destroy you. But in fact, most of the time, the preferred tactic, the preferred battle plan is to destroy you by lies and deceptions and temptations, which are far more deadly because you don't even realize it's happening. I think about people in the grip of drugs or alcohol or pornography or about youth who are making poor choices about marijuana dabbing or drinking or promiscuous sex or who knows what other risky behaviors, who inflict so much destruction upon their own lives and who create so much pain and destruction in the lives of others. And perhaps, you know, in this cursed creation, there are people who in fact have chemical or psychological tendencies towards such things. I don't doubt that at all. We live in a broken world. But having said that, it is Satan who exploits these chinks in our armor to score major hits against us and to destroy us. And then you ask the loved ones of such people, and they will tell you, well, she's fighting a lot of demons. And isn't it interesting that we use the language of fighting demons? Because that is exactly the truth. Whether we are fighting outright demonic possession or subtle demonic deception, we are all fighting these demons. So what do? We come here. And what do here? We cling to Christ and to the gospel that proclaims simply this from 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, the Son of God appeared to destroy the works of the devil. Satan may be a destroyer, but the gospel teaches us that Christ destroyed him. And that's why the satanic destroyer cannot destroy those who cling to Christ, the valiant one, elected by God to fight for us, who disarmed and destroyed Satan at the cross. And that means that the end of this story has been written. This ship, the Church of Jesus Christ, as much as she is attacked, as much damage as she sustains, she is not going down. The gates of hell will never prevail against it, and she will arrive safely to the harbor. And so the church keeps coming to Christ, clinging to Christ, because with might of ours cannot be done against these demons, or our loss would soon be effected. So we keep coming to Christ, the destroyer of the destroyer, remembering our baptism, exposing ourselves to the words of God, coming to the communion table to receive His gifts of forgiveness and life and salvation in His body and blood. And it's not that the destroyer is not going to continue to rain down hell from the heavens and to try to inflict as much destruction and damage as he can upon you. But what he cannot do is to sink you. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. So this got me to thinking about somebody who was fighting demons in his life, grew up in the church, baptized, knew Christ, loved Christ, but he fell victim nonetheless to Satan's lie that sexual promiscuity was the way to happiness and fulfillment until, that is, his demons destroyed him. He got strafed by two lawsuits, former girlfriends who sued him for child support for children that he had fathered that he didn't even want. And then there was a relationship that he actually did care about and hoped would succeed, but that got torpedoed when his lady friend found out from another one of his friends about his past sleazy life. But perhaps worst of all for him was the damage being inflicted upon his conscience. Like kamikaze attacks inside of his own heart and mind, relentlessly attacking and trying to destroy his sense of value before God. How could God love somebody like him who had been so sleazy, or redeem his life for some good purpose? And he even considered suicide and came close once as a way to deal with the guilt and the mess that he had made of his life. But if you were to talk to him today, he would do exactly the same thing that Jesus told this demoniac to do. He would tell you his story, and he would tell you how much God has done for him, how God set him free of his demons and has restored his life, that the Holy Spirit had worked repentance in his heart, had called him back to Jesus Christ and back to his baptism and back to the communion table and set him upon a new path. Resurrected, or if you will, recommissioned for service in the kingdom of God. And to this day, he is strong in his faith, faithful in worship and in the service of God. Another epic battle won by Christ, the destroyer of the destroyer. So I guess you could say the church is the USS Laffey of the heavenly realms. She will never go down, no matter how much she is attacked or strafed or bombed. She will never go down because Christ, who fought and won for her, is with her, and he is in her, and he is her fortress and her strength and her salvation, and you will never go down because your Savior has destroyed the destroyer. Let's pray. Lord, drive out the doubt that cripples faith. Expel our pride and greed, that we from powers that threaten us may by grace be freed. Amen. Amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ to life everlasting. Amen.